RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
As we heard on Friday, very sad news came through. The death of King Tuhetia Potato Te Whirowhiro VII, the seventh monarch of the Māori King movement. And the news came out of the blue. Been in hospital for, I think, heart surgery. I know, I've been there, done that. I know what that's like. And then on Friday, we had that news. Now, I've invited Lee Taituha onto our program. Lee's been on RCR, on our political panel, and quite a few interviews already. He has just founded a political party, the Unite New Zealand Party, and he's also had quite an interesting history in education, policing. He was right there when the settlement, Kingitanga settlement, was going on, so he's been in the room. That's going to be fascinating. Founder of the Pātaka Institute. And really, he's just been working to raise living standards in New Zealand with his background, his multi-varied background. And he grew up in the Kingitanga movement. Lee, kia ora, welcome. Morena, all the words. Nice to have you back. And yeah, that was surprising news on Friday. Got me, I got to say.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you, Paul. And I really appreciate you taking the time to have this show about this occasion. E te mea tuatahi, ngā mihi aroha ki a koutou e te whānau pani I te wā nei. Tēnā koutou katoa, rire rire hau, pai mārire. What I mentioned there was an acknowledgement of the grieving family at this time. And also under the mantle of the whakapono, or the faith of the Kingitanga, which is my faith, which is the pai mārire faith, and that, I think, is the place to begin this discussion, is to do with faith and unity, ko tahitanga, and that's the purpose of the Kingitanga. So it is a sad time, but also at this time, be a time of renewal too, and a time of remembrance. And I really appreciate you, Paul, for doing this, because it's a great opportunity for us to go through some history, and also to honour Kingi Tuheitia's reign and really what he stood for. And so thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
I want to be educated on this. I knew of him. I knew a bit about his background, but only what had been reported in media from my sort of osmosis experience through the media and having it reported every now and then. I remember when his mother died and he came in to the role. And I think you served under his mother, the Māori Queen, so we can hear about that. What sort of person was he, Lee?
Well, I had spent most of my time, when I came of age, working with Te Ariki Nui, that's Te Aotearoa Kahu, his mother, and her younger brother, Sir Robert Mahuta. So I only had met Kingi Tuheitia in passing as a youngster before he had become king. And then upon him becoming king, again, just in passing and occasions. But he was a working man. A lot like his father and his grandfather, Kingi Koroki, and he was an honourable man.
So he knew what it was to be, I won't say a regular person, but you know what I mean.
Yes, absolutely.
A working person, a common.
Absolutely.
In the best sense of the word, a common man.
That's right. Also, it's important for the audience to recognise that what they may see these days in the past, 30 years since the treaty settlement that we had in 1995, prior to that, the whole movement was working class. Yeah. Kingi Koroki, his grandfather, was a mechanic. Literally at Wahi Pai and Huntly, they lived on dirt floors, literally. What maybe people are used to seeing now today, it was very, very different. And so Kingi Tuheitia grew up in that environment. And he, like myself, was surrounded by great leaders, namely his mother. So I came of age working with her and her younger brother, Sir Robert. He was my mentor. It was the man that encouraged me to get an education and to move forward in my life. So, yeah, for the people out there, and you may have heard this in those who heard him speak, very straight-speaking man, very down-to-earth man. And the mamai, or the hurt that I feel, is more so to do with, I feel during his time that his voice wasn't heard enough, and right, that he came at a time when it was a lot different for his mother, where there was, you know, there wasn't the corporate structure that was in place then. So the thing I'd like to leave with the audience is this concept of kotahitanga, of unity, and that's what I learned from his mother, and no doubt what he learned from his mother too, and whakapono, which means good faith. The kingitanga was about unity, kotahitanga, and whakapono. And now that may seem different now because, you know, this past 30 years, you know, it's, you know, we have the modern sort of take on things where in Māori development, but it came from faith. And that's what I'd like to leave the impression with those listening. And so in terms of the history, I can spend some time with you on talking about that, but his reign came at a time, in a transitional time, where his mother knew what it was like to grow up, and her goal was to unify all people, not just Māori. So right. Te Ariki Nui, her message was loud and clear to me as a youngster, and I wasn't the only one, is that I remember her telling me when I handed my master's program over to her, my research output to her, and I remember her saying, okay, boy, she called it, no, boy, she move on now, move forward. And I remember her saying, kotahi noi ho te atua. She said, there's only one God, the same God for all people, unite all people. And that, wow. And that was a powerful, powerful message. And I feel aroha for Kingi Tuheitia, is that he came into the role when there was a lot of corporate and a lot of, there was the settlement, there was a lot of money and there's a lot of assets, a lot of politics involved.
You have to keep your head, right? You have to keep your head in that situation.
Yeah, yeah. And so so I saw the transition from a young man into now.
I'm really interested in what you say about leadership, because it's always fascinated me. What makes a good leader? How do you know someone is a good leader? What do you feel for them? What comes across from them?
I learned from, I grew up at a time where, so all of the kaumātua that I grew up with are all gone now. There are none left. And I can recall the definition of leadership was literally for me, Te Ariki Nui, Kingi Tuheitia's mother. I learned, because I was a youngster as well, and you're learning these things, you're coming of age, you know, you're trying to suss things out in your own life. And what I learned was the leader must know where the leader is going. That was the first lesson that I'd learned. If you don't know where you're going, and if you feel your role is just a facilitator or to just, you know, sort of grab for ideas here and there, that's not leadership. She knew precisely where she was going. And she made it clear to us. And it was very, very simple too. I think the other thing about leadership, the message must be crystal clear and simple. And hers was a message of kotahitanga, unity of all people. She saw us Māori as a special role. She said, we have a special role and that we have to bring people together, because what other force is doing that? What other movement out there is bringing people together? We have governments that come and go 3 years at a time. But she's that. What I learned there is to know where the leader is. The leader must know where they're going, have a clear vision, and to see the long picture, to see it off into the distance. And that came through her ancestors too, particularly for me, the role model of Kingi Tāwhiao, the second Māori king, where it's my personal belief that he, in fact, was a prophet, that really? he could see things in his time. The role of a prophet, he's not God. He made that clear to the people. He's just a man.
Yeah, but he can see ahead, right?
Yes, yes, that's right. That was his role. And it was all came again from faith, from whakapono, from good faith. He was a Christian, likewise his father, Kingi Te Whirowhiro, the first king. But his reign was only brief, around 18 months. And Kingi Tāwhiao came into the role right in the midst of the land wars. And so he was basically saying, look, what is the faith? What is the anchor? What is the binding force that's going to bring us together? And it was always about faith. So many will see the kingitanga as a political movement, and it has elements of that, no doubt. However, it came from good faith and the desire to come together. King Tāwhiao himself established a newspaper in English and Māori for the purpose of communicating with the settlers and his own people, and a reserve bank and he traded with Australia and Great Britain. So he very much felt that even after the wars, it was terrible, that his role was to try and bring all people together. So that their vision was very universal. It wasn't just to do with tribes. Let me give you an example. On the back of his currency of called Te Peke o Aotearoa, the Bank of Aotearoa, on the back of his currency, and it's a copy of it sits in the Reserve Bank in New Zealand now, on the back of it, it says, E whai mana ana tēnei moni ki ngā tangata katoa, which means I authorize this bank for all people.
Right.
So it was very much, and then my kaumātua too, including my grandfather, who was heavily involved with the kingitanga. He was Te Ariki Nui's speaker. As a woman, she wouldn't speak on the marae, and he would speak for her. And it was very much impressed upon me as a young man that this movement is about all people. And he would say the kingitanga belongs to the world. So Kingi Tawhiao's name, his name was changed. His actual name is Tūkaroto Matutaira Botatau Te Whirowhiro, but his name was changed by another Christian prophet named Te Ahaumene to Tawhiao, which means across the world. Tawhia ki te ao. So to have a universal vision. So,
The way you're talking, you can see where, man, that must have been such a time in history.
Oh, look, absolutely.
Like a pivot point. Right?
Yeah, and look at me now, 30 years later, you can hear the fire in my belly about that vision. But frankly, though, Paul, I feel it's gone.
Well, and I was going to ask you.
And we need to get it back. And that's why I formed this movement, Unite New Zealand. It's my hope to work with the new king or queen and to unite New Zealand, because that's what I was taught. And I must say that Kingi Tawhia was trying to do that. Kingi Tuheitia was trying to do that when he was going around the country and there's this debate about a Māori parliament emerging. And you recall him saying, some of our listeners might have heard him say, well, are you sure?
Yeah,
he was very reticent about that, you know?
Yeah. Next question then, Lee, is because that what you've just told me, I mean, I find that powerful.
Yeah.
It like lifts you up.
Yes.
What happened?
Yeah.
How was it derailed? Who came in and took it off balance, or however you want to put it?
Well, from my eyewitness accounts, let me take you back to the prelim leading up to the settlement, because that was the turning point, the treaty settlement. Now, these negotiations had been attempted right back since the 1860s. Kingi Tawhia was the first to travel to England to seek an audience with Queen Victoria. He acknowledged her as the sovereign. And even that's up for, we have these political parties trying to debate that now. But at that time, leading into the settlement, I grew up at a time when the transition, and when we were there preparing for the settlement, I was pulled in by Sir Robert Mahuta, to do everything, make the cups of tea, drive the car, be there on hand. And the instruction that I got from Te Ariki Nui was, right, we're going to get this signed. We're going to have the apology from Queen Elizabeth in person, and we're going to move forward.
Right.
We've lost the totara, the big rākau, the tree, but we now have a seed that we can plant. And we can grow into a forest. I remember that. And what's happened basically since then is just your good old politics, money and land.
Right.
And look, this is no different than any other culture around the world. Once you
have assets
in the picture. And that's where we moved away from, for me, the essence of the kingitanga, which is whakapono, good faith. Kingi Te Whirowhiro, the first king, said, hei aha, a muri ake, kia mau ki te ture, kia mau ki te whakapono, me te aroha, hei aha te aha. That means, that after all, just hold fast to the law, hold fast to faith and love, and just forsake all else. And that's what those speeches are what we were brought up on. Then, when the settlement arrived, we had, look, it's a simple case of wonderful intentions with unintended consequences.
Yeah,
and so now that's where I believe now, what we are What we starve for in Māoridom is not assets and resource. I don't know any Māori that's been held back. What we starve for is faith, good faith. What's required is a spiritual renewal, and that takes leadership, because it's very, very difficult for a leader to stand in front of an audience and to try and avoid just pleasing them. You know, when you're a leader, you've got to say the inconvenient.
That's speaking to my question. What is leadership? That's what it is.
Yeah, it's now I'll give you an example. So, for instance, in the next few days, you'll see the transition occur. And the thing about the Kingitanga and Māori organisations in general, these ceremonies will run like clockwork. They're very well organised, and so you'll see the transition. And prior to Kingi Tuheitia being buried, they'll announce the new king or queen. However, if we go back to the early times in the Kingitanga, there was a speech that was made by Kingi Tawhia just prior to his death. And this exemplifies the leadership, Paul. He said, "Ka puta uinuku, ka puta matariki, ko mahuta hei kingi." Now, uinuku is the black hole in the center of our galaxy in the Milky Way. And Matariki is the Pleiades constellation. You might have heard of Matariki, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then he said, ka puta uinuku, ka puta ko matariki, ko mahuta hei kingi. He was announcing the new king.
Right.
He had it in his, he led. So that, like you see with King Charles, that the succession plan is all organized.
Hmm.
Okay, so if you go back to those ancient times, the leader really led, which meant this. This is the term manamutu hake that I like to clarify to our listeners. Manamutu hake is not for the collective, it's for the individual. I say manamutu hake, kei roto tonu I te nākau o te tangata takitahi, which means it's in the heart of the individual. And for the king to be the king must lead. Because if the king leads, or if the leader leads, then what you're doing is you're providing freedom to the people to choose. You're saying, this is where we're going. And if you don't like it, well, go your own way then.
Right.
You know, and that's what I've found is very, very difficult in an environment where when literally your salary could be at stake, or your livelihood or your profession. But in those days, there wasn't those pressures, those economic pressures. And so the king and the leader could lead. And I grew up around chiefs like that. You know, I had kaumātua that, you know, I can't repeat now what they used to say to me. And when they wanted things done, it got done. So it was consensus, but it was so easy to follow these chiefs because you had such admiration for them. And as I'm sort of feeling in what you're saying, Paul, there is an inherent admiration in the people, all New Zealanders, and particularly for these things. But that sometimes they don't know how to find a way in to acknowledge that admiration. But what makes it worse is poor examples. And that's what we've had the last 30 years, Paul. We've had people that have lost the faith, and they've just seen, like any other culture, the resources in front of them, the opportunity to what I call in Latin, libido dominandi, which means the lust to power.
Yep.
And so...
I think we understand that, because right now, a lot of our listeners will, I think I do, I know you do, because many of us actually had to make that choice between materialism, let's say, and maintaining a material standard of living and feeling very insecure if it might not be there, or a higher calling cause where we had to make a real philosophical decision of what is right and what is wrong, and damn the consequences. What I'm picking up from you is that's been kind of lost in the big picture of our context. And we kind of need that back. It's kind of a greater good thing, not a me thing. And the culture's not really well tuned for that right now, it seems to me, the broader culture.
Yeah, well, if you go back, I'll use the example in Kingi Tawhia's time. That was, even if you could imagine, worse than now, because there's literally wars going on.
Yeah,
people dying. Gun battles across the country, right? And so he was faced with the same dilemma. And he made the decision, is that whakapono, faith, is what will bring the people together. But, however, and this is the kicker, and this is why in the movement that I'm forming, Unite New Zealand, the driver behind it underneath the whakapono or the faith is economic reform. And Kingi Tawhiao understood that. He right. knew that how much of a cheek it would be for him to go out to the people and say, oh, let's just get together and sing Kumbaya and get along. No, you can't do that if you're panicking about the bills. You can't do that if the economy is in the tank. And that's what he recognized. So he said, righto then, I'm going to put together a newspaper so I can communicate information to people, freedom of speech, his Twitter, his ex, if you like.
Yeah, version 1.0, right?
Yeah, that's right. And he established a bank. And he was trading amongst the settlers as well.
So economics could take place.
Yeah, but where that came from, though, Paul, was it was grounded in the faith. Because I believe if you have good faith, you're going to have better answers than someone that's just jumping around all over the place 3 years at a time. Governments come and go. And that's, so like I say, rautaki mai, rautaki atu, heaha te aha. Strategies come and go. But what he recognises is that the faith must be supported with the works too. Yeah. And so what we've found since the treaty settlement is that there hasn't been that movement forward where we've not done anything uniquely based upon the whakapono to do with this economic reform. Right, for instance, we've owned motels and rugby clubs and league clubs and casinos and shopping centres, all sorts of, but any culture can do that. You go to Dubai, you'll get that anywhere.
Yeah.
There's been nothing unique there that's come through that's based on the whakapono first. And so what happens is that because we haven't had that, we haven't led the economic reform. We've just been sitting there off to the sides complaining about the disparate outcomes, and we've not stood up and said, no, we're gonna build this for the betterment of the whole country.
So we're not talking communism or those sort of concepts.
No, entrepreneurialism quite the opposite.
Yeah. Is there. Opportunities are there. Obviously, education, you know a lot about that, is so important. And, I mean, I'm not promoting him, but I hear Winston say this. I talk to him a lot.
Yep.
This is what he says a lot. He says, okay, forget all that stuff. What we need to do is create sustainable jobs that are paid well for Maori, for everyone, and that can grow ahead, and we can see a path ahead. Shane Jones bangs on about that as well, sort of putting in these foundations. And I can't help thinking, that makes sense, but it's not like some sort of communist system where...
No, not at all. If you go back far enough, Paul, what you'll find is that this was orthodoxy. Kingi Tawhiao's vision then was just, look, we're going to get on with this. You know why? Because we're not just going to be offshoots of an economy. His view, like for instance, by saying there's a Māori economy, Kingi Tawhiao would be rolling in his grave. He said, what Māori economy? It's everybody's economy. I mean, who are you going to trade with? You know, so that was the idea. So, Winston and Shane are on the right track, but this was orthodoxy back then.
Nothing new. Yeah.
Nothing new. But what's happened in the transition, though, is that it comes down to leadership. Paul, I think your theme of leadership is bang on, is that when you are given all the tools and you don't have any skills and you have a mindset that the world owes you something, no matter how big your river is, how much land you get, or how much money you have in your Westpac account, you're not going to move forward because you've got this mentality that of a victim mentality. And Kingi Tawhiao, his example to me was the complete opposite to that. He said, Māku anō he hanga I tōku nei whare, which means, look, as for me, I'm going to get on and build my own house. I'm not going to build your house for you. This is not communism. I'm going to build a house. Now, the blueprint for it is open source. You can watch me do it if you like.
Yeah.
So it was very much like pick it up off your own bootstraps and stand up. But when the settlement came, though, Paul, what happened was now you're there, and now the reason why we haven't moved an inch forward, the bank account may look okay, but why the people haven't moved an inch forward, and there's still protests and marches today, is that we've not moved forward inside. We still have this mentality of no. No matter what we get, the world still owes us something. Now, to me, that's why that thought is repugnant to me, because even as recently as with Te Ariki Nui, when I was as a youngster, the thought of me sitting around as a victim, I would have got kicked in the ass, basically. Get up and get on with your life, you know? And so what I'm doing here now with Unite New Zealand, Paul, is a desire to work with those values and to hope and to work with the next king or queen to unite New Zealand. We've got so much opportunity, but there are just no forces for unity, no voices for unity across Māoridom, other than those that you've, Shane and Winston and, you know, myself and others. But that's why we've got to stand up and speak like this. You know, that's the leadership that's required.
You just reminded me, it's also the 50th anniversary of Norm Kirk's death.
Yeah.
The last week or so. I remember Big Norm. I was a teenager at the time when he died, and I knew that he lived in Karikari near a relative of mine, so I knew a bit about him, sort of. But I think you're speaking about the same breed of cat, if you want me to, I can put it that way.
Yep.
He built his own house.
Yep.
He couldn't, I was reading some detail, I'm not making about him, but I'm just using this by way of an example after what you've said. You know, the resilience and the self-motivation. He couldn't afford timber, so he actually made bricks himself, built the house. The house is still standing.
Yeah.
He had just a very average education. If you look at the way he boiled it down to what Kiwis want, he nailed it, man.
Yeah, mate. Hey, look, I tell you, Paul, that is the Labor Party of our fathers, mate, but not today, isn't it?
That's another thing that's spun out of control.
But you can see there, do you see how easy it is, Paul, is that I described this to you, that's infected the Māori too, and iwi and the kingitanga, it infected it there, but it was infected, look, in mainstream, now the Labour Party itself, it looks nothing like Norman Kirk. Mm.
Boy, I want those characters back, who you're talking about, I want them back, mate. I want them in charge, I want them back.
Can I give you a clue as how I do that, mate, to stop myself from going completely nuts?
Please do.
It is whakapono, Paul, and this is what I was taught by my grandfather and Te Ariki Nui as well, and my kaumātuas is this. You know when you miss those old people, when you miss the way things were, when it was so clear and leadership was so clear, and this is where the whakapono comes in, Paul, so that's what I want to impress on our audience today is that they are here.
Right.
So I sit here in my room with my photos of my kings, right back to Te Whirowhiro, all my ancestors in my room. And when you go onto Marais, you'll see the photos everywhere. Mm. Now, that's not just good sociology. That's spiritual.
It's a presence.
Yeah, it's a presence. And maybe you can feel it as I'm saying it to you, as I grew up on the shoulders of giants and I've never lost them. They're right here. And they give me the strength. Their wairua gives me the strength to say these things to you, which are very inconvenient, what we're talking about here, Paul. And to my people, they would not want to hear this. No way. They say, no, Lee, look, no. The government owes us this and the world owes us that. And I say, BS, whatever. You know why? Because our ancestors are saying something else. And so what you said about Norm Kirk, Mākua no he hanga I tōku nei whare. That's a Kingi Tāwhiao life he lived. Kingi Tāwhiao said this too, and his father Te Whirowhiro said, you know, you want to find the truth, you're not going to find it in some pamphlet or some brochure somewhere. You're going to find it inside yourself if you truly believe this, and that's where the pai marire for me, the faith, the good faith, is really what those leaders had. They, because you know, when you're there facing insurmountable obstacles, the only thing you have left is faith. And so that's what I want to encourage the people out there listening is to say, this movement that I'm forming here is not new. Unite New Zealand, it's in the name. It's in the name. But we can't unite unless we truly believe and we really want to.
Well, the evidence is there because
it's still there, mate. Yeah.
The way we're talking, look what our people have built.
Mm.
Look what they've built. They built a first world country in no time at all.
Yep.
I mean, how impressive is that, man?
And right at the bottom of the world, you know. So you know,
you're the furthest away from everywhere.
Exactly. And our ancestors all came to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's that. You know,
traveling across oceans.
Yeah.
You know, taking risks like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and so However, there's an advantage geographically we have, though, too, with that, Paul, is that can you imagine if New Zealand was plonked right in the middle of Europe amongst Germany and all the other countries there?
Uh-oh.
Our borders would be invaded, like what's happening in UK now. So we do have an opportunity, a geographical opportunity, to really sort ourselves out and to come together. But as I say, that as Tafio put it and as Norm Kirk put it as well, if you can't afford to build your own house and feed your kids and keep the lights on, it's very, very difficult to have to maintain that faith. And so with the first with faith, with our leadership, with faith, then comes that economic reform that's got to really follow quickly. But we need leaders of faith, people who actually believe it's even possible. Because, you know, you and I are talking like this. Where do you hear this, mate?
Well, I believe it's possible. I absolutely believe it's possible.
Yeah, mate.
And you wouldn't believe. We could knock it out of the park.
Yes, yes. And we just get over ourselves. And so, look, I'm glad that you've said that, mate, because in honour of Kingi Tū Heiti, I want to leave a message with our audience, is to say that the best way that I could honour my faith and the Kingitanga, Kingi Tū Heiti and his mother, who I worked with and who inspired me, the best thing I could do is to stand up and say, we can unite. We can do this. We can come together. We don't have to, you know, don't take counsel from our fears and all these, and also the politics that just last 3 years at a time. And also, Paul, when you started our conversation today, it is so important to learn history, accurate history.
Totally. Yeah, you know, I agree.
So. The purpose of history, as I was taught by Sir Robert, was, Lee, the reason why we have history is so we don't make the same stuff-ups as they did. We can learn from their past as well as ours.
Mm.
But that's that leadership there, the clear leadership, the optimism that comes from having unity in the center of your soul. And what I'm saying here to you now, Paul, if this was my last breath, I'd say the same thing. And that's what we need. So I feel for Kingi Tū Heiti, because I feel the man himself was trying to do this. He was trying to say this, but he was limited in his options. And the forces of the economic, you know, what I call the corporate iwi structure across the country, those forces are almost insurmountable. And also he and can be used for whatever purpose that suits those around him. And so I hear a lot from Pākehā people, Paul, who just can't understand what I'm saying, because they and I say to them, I know New Zealand, because you've been faced with terrible examples that I feel in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
And so the only way I can say is that I grew up on the shoulders of giants. I know that this is possible. The Māori that I grew up were unifiers. Our marae was for all people. Our home was for all people. I grew up playing music and a love of education, because my parents brought educated people into our home, and they were Pākehā people. I grew up, my kaumātua, their first languages was English. We hardly spoke English. Māori, they hardly spoke English. And so the idea that the thing called Māori is a unifying force, because Māori means natural, normal, clear. But now this corporate structure, and so the solution, I feel, Paul, is more of this type of kōrero, and I really commend
you for having
this show.
You never know who's listening. There might be one person listening.
Yeah.
Who we don't even know, and it could be you too. I get that. You never know. It might set off a spark. And that person might be able to lead in some way. So we got to talk like that. That's what I'm getting to.
And I think too, Paul, one thing, my eldest is 25, my eldest son, is that I think it's incumbent of us to speak this vision of unity, just like my kings and my queen did. They spoke of unity. They spoke of standing up and being productive, because I think those that need to hear it the most are those youngsters now, the Gen Zs, those here that are just so vulnerable to the woke mind virus that's out there, where they feel it's their crusade to stand up for these oppressed Māoris. And I'll say to you now, young people, I am not oppressed. I'm free. because my kaumātua has taught me how to stand up and lead and not be a victim. That's the truth. That's what Māori means. And that's what I implore my son and my the young people to. But it's but the pressures and the media these days and the, you know, so these voices here, Paul, as much as I feel for our old people out there, I hope that that voice or that those ears that are listening now, Paul, are also the youngsters out there.
Yeah, well, that's kind of who I was thinking about, you know, in that age range that you're talking. And to my oldest kid who's in her 30s now. And here's the inevitability, Lee. Once you get to a certain age, reflection starts to come into things and your thinking can change, but sometimes it's a bit too late, you know. It can be a bit too late. So there's emergency in this, isn't there?
There is, Paul. Last time I spoke with you, I was doing another venture. But since we spoke last time, that's why I've decided, no, I'm not going to wait any longer. I'm going to form this movement, Unite New Zealand, and if it requires a political party, if it requires me to change legislation, we'll do that. So I invite the listeners, unitenz.org, and come visit me there. But also is that, you know, you never know, Paul. We may not have much time left, so why waste it, you know, capitulating and prevaricating around the outside? Let's go straight through the middle. The good news I'll leave with our people, all those listening, is this has all been done before.
Yeah,
we've given examples today. Kingi Tawhiro, Kingi Te Whirowhiro, Te Ariki Nui, Norm Kirk, those people.
Even old Sir Rob. I mean, people might not have liked him, but I think he it was more in it for the country than his ego,
It crept in there. I can recall hearing my grandparents saying, "Oh, Piggy Muldoon, we don't want him, we don't want him." Because at the time, my uncle Koro Wetere was in Parliament, right? He was in politics, right?
Yeah.
And what I had discovered, that the creep had set in there quite early, Paul, where people were saying, "Hang on, if we don't go Labour, we're not going to get our dole." Right? Whereas Rob Muldoon was the opposite of that picture. But our kaumātua that I grew up with, they just resented that. How dare you go on the dole? So I remember the Think Big projects that Muldoon brought in. He was the guy that actually floated our currency, which was similar to what Kingi Tawhiro did, because he knew the state can't go broke, it can't go bankrupt because it can set its own currency. So he invested in all these projects, but that mine virus was setting in that early, Paul, like in the 80s. Why? Because we had a lot of Māori go through university since the 70s, and they came out with these woke ideas of just, like, you know, replacing God with politics.
I think that's a really interesting thing you've just said. I think we're at an inflection point. It's a spiritual inflection point.
Yes.
And I don't know if we can attach that to what we need to do in our country, but it seems to me that that's, and this is only just recent thinking of mine, that's missing to a level.
That's right, Paul. You opened our discussion with the concept of leadership, and the leader must know where they're going. And what I want to say to the people listening, that can only come from within inside.
Yeah.
It is a spiritual renewal that's required. And so if I can leave with you a translation of a very, very important spiritual component of the kingitanga, is pai marire. And that faith, the karakia pai marire was learnt by Kingi Tawhiro when he was literally searching across the country. He was saying, what church shall Māoris have? What shall be our faith first? So he became Catholic, Methodist, and Baptist. You know, he was, what our kaumātua used to say, he's hedging his bets to try and get into heaven, you know. So he was searching for this, like what you and I are talking about here. And he visited with Te Uahaumene, who was a Christian prophet living in Taranaki at the time. And he learnt the pai marire from these karakia from Te Uahaumene. But Te Uahaumene said to him, no, King, you have to lead. You have to pick this up and lead us all. And so when he came back to Waikato from that visit to Taranaki, it was Te Uahaumene that changed his name to Tawhiao. So his name was Tūkaroto Matutaira. So Tawhiao, the name is literally a faith name. And when Kingi Tawhito came back. He embedded the Pai Māori there into our region here in Waikato, where I grew up. I was born in the same place he was born, near Orongo Koikoia, which is a small little pā in the King Country. And when he brought the Pai Māori there back, he said, in the future, this will need to emerge back out of the earth for the people to know where they come from and who they are. And it will unite all the people on the face of the country, not just Māori, everybody. And so the Pai Māori there, Pai Māori, Pai means good. Ma for means like a direction or a coordinate, like a compass. Imagine if you had a compass in your hand.
Yep, yep.
And riri means into the unknown.
Okay, so I get it.
Like into the depth of the ocean. So Pai Māori basically means to know where you're going. So he would say, riri, riri ho. So riri, we don't know. That's the unknown. And ho is a right angle. It's an angle to bring the above and below, heaven and earth together. So he would say, rire, rire, ho, pai marire. And that's what I would like to leave with our people. If it's not inside you, if it's not part of you, if it's something that we're, and part of it too, I think, Paul, is sometimes, like with the Judeo-Christian faith, they require sacrifice.
Yep.
And I believe too that it's sad to say that sometimes the spiritual renewal, I think, Paul, requires a complete sacrifice in that, have you felt enough pain yet, New Zealand?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Are you scared enough yet? You know, do you really want this yet or not?
Yeah. Yeah, make your choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Bring it on, I say.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. Kia mau ki te pai mariri. Yeah, bring it on. Yeah. Let's suss out where we're going and lead from the front, so.
Lee, incredible chat. Thanks so much.
Thank you too, Paul, and my best and love to all the country at this time. Rere, rere, ho, pai marire.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.